You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
I'm Jenny Dyster, and I'd like to welcome you to Expanding Horizons. Today, I've got a working partner. In fact, the working partner is going to do most of the work. It's Christine Mason, and we're both members of the Unitarian Church of South Australia. Hello, Christine.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
And you've got the major part today, because you actually had the idea of today's topic, didn't you?
That's correct. We're going to do a double act, a conversation rather than a talk. So the title, as I had it as a working title, is All Joy Be Yours. Now, if you were trying to think of a joyful person, you might come up with someone like Tom Hanks' wife. Last week, I came across an article in the Sunday Mail where Tom Hanks was being interviewed by Michelle Manelis. Her last question was, Tom, your wife Rita survived breast cancer. She survived COVID-19 and, inexplicably, she found a passion for rap music and collaborated with Naughty by Nature on a remix of their 1993 hit, Hip Hop Hooray. Where does she get her energy?
And Tom said, from sheer happiness. I have to say, it's a butt-kicking renaissance, exhausting to me sometimes. She can't think except in these joyful terms of what can she do, what can she put out, what can she create. I'm going to say that in the past 10 years or so, her creative output has been a combination between Carly Simon and the Beatles, by way of this small amount of time she's been doing it. She's always, always creating and is doing it out of the best source possible for artistic creation, joy. She's indefatigable. Nothing can stop her. So I just stand back, and every now and then I carry her lip gloss and I tell her where she's left her phone. I'm a very lucky man.
But wouldn't you say that's sort of setting the bar a bit too high? Who can maintain that level of happiness?
Well, I certainly can't. I think of joy as an unpredictable feeling, a temporary feeling. Absolutely wonderful, of course, but not a steady state. Although I will allow that I'm sometimes aware of a subterranean feeling of joy, even in the midst of irritation while teaching kids, for example. but my point is, the consciousness of joy comes and goes. And, of course, sometimes joy can feel very remote indeed.
Yes, I would agree with you on that point. It sort of takes me back to 1972, when I was a young mum with four children, and my youngest was only a year old. I was living and working in the Bahamas, and my husband and I were Salvation Army officers. I'd been preparing over a period of 2 weeks a talk on All Joy Be Yours, which was the theme for the Women's World Day of Prayer on the first Friday in March. On that day, I received a phone call from my father to say that my mother had died. Quite suddenly, a long way from home, with absolutely no way of flying to London for her funeral, I felt incredibly bereft and isolated, and I still had to give the talk.
The talk entitled All Joy Be Yours. Ouch.
It came together, actually, as I searched the Bible and the theological books, which were readily to hand there.
Funny that.
Many references came to mind, of course, for example, and certainly brought some degree of consolation to me. I found that there was some comfort and hope in, for example, Psalm 30, verse 5, which says, "Weepeth endureth for a night."
Weeping?
Weeping.
Weeping, okay.
Weeping.
Gotcha. Yes.
endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And the inner strength and discipline of St. Paul, when in prison he wrote in Philippians chapter 4:4-7, I have learned to be content or joy-filled in whatever circumstance, giving us inner peace and joy, as it were, a sort of an immunity from pain. Live above feeling victory was there, was a chorus we used to sing in the Salvation Army. So you sort of see where I come from. Yeah. Resolving to pursue joy is a, in a sense, a choice.
That sounds almost New Age. It's a choice.
It's a choice, yes. Thinking about the theme, All Joy Be Yours, in the context of now, I looked up last week something on joy on the internet and found that in the Christian perspective, there's a book called Theopedia.
Theopedia.
Yeah. This is from a Christian perspective. Hang in there. We'll get to the point in a minute, Jen.
Okay.
According to them, joy is a spiritual experience. It lasts forever. We always have it. A state of mind and orientation of the heart. Possessing joy includes feeling of good cheer and vibrant with happiness. Joy in its fuller spiritual meaning of God's goodness involves more. It is a deep-rooted, inspired happiness. Circumstances may dictate our life experience. Regardless, joy remains. Joy is not a place of, but in spite of. Ergo, a content-filled life.
Oh, sounds a bit pie in the sky. It doesn't have the Christian proviso that this happens as long as you have enough faith in the Lord. Mm. Oh, yeah. What if we use a less religious word than joy? I'm thinking of happiness. Would that make any difference?
Difference between joy and happiness. According to my previous spiritual experience way back, happiness is like an inch deep and a mile wide, whereas joy is a mile wide and a mile deep, a deep experience. Yes, that is where I stood at the time.
Right.
And when I was asked to do this Sunday talk, my mind sort of recalled that time, in that very sad time in the Bahamas. Much has happened to me since then, and my thoughts and perspective have changed considerably. I have tried to follow the same stance, but I came to a halt, so much so that although I still value my heritage, it no longer completely meshes for me anymore. I also began to think that the title was sort of somewhat condescending and did not fit anymore. It was with some angst I tried to find an alternative title.
And did you succeed?
Well, here we go with an illustration.
It's a story. I can see a story coming yeah, on.
It's an illustration. Recently, I went away for a couple of days with my two daughters. They decided to take me to the beach, to a hotel. And after a swim, we went back to the room. And my younger daughter drew me a bath up to the top with bubbles, a hot bath. And there I was sitting in the bath, and I had a eureka moment. She bought me champagne, and Neil Diamond was the music we were listening to. And it took me back to some very good times, joyful moments, as was this one. Then after a lengthy soak, an indulgent soak, my other daughter, who's a nurse, helped me out. She said, oh, Mum, I can do it. I do it all the time with pregnant women. Anyway, it sort of shades of a beached whale sort of could spring to mind. Not a pretty sight.
I wasn't there, fortunately.
There we go. It was more of an epiphany, actually, than eureka. That might be a better term. The bluebird on the shoulder. I changed the title from a statement to a question. What brings you joy and where might it be found?
Well, that does sound more like something I'd want to sink my teeth into. But I'm going to be a bit like a dog with a dead rat and come back to that question I asked you earlier about the difference between joy and happiness. And your answer was joy has more depth than happiness. Well, is that really so? And can you tease out that theme a bit?
It seemed to me at that point we often pursue happiness but overlook joy. My son Christopher introduced me to TED Talks recently,
And I looked up joy and came up with a TED talk by a young woman called Ingrid Fittell Lee, which was entitled Where Joy Hides and How to Find It. Now, Ingrid is a young designer. Here is her experience and some of her thoughts. Joy is contagious. When we smile, most people will respond with a smile, and we are more physically attractive. Generally, people want to be around us when we're joyful. Ingrid raised some questions at this point. What is the relationship between the word joy and the mysterious, curious, quixotic emotion we call joy? Happiness is how good we feel at the time. Joy and
at the time or over time?
Over time, yes.
Right, yeah.
That's right, over time. Joy, an intense positive emotion, feeling good in the moment.
Right, so it is different to that idea that joy's got more oomph than happiness.
Yes.
It's more temporal.
Yes.
Joy's the peaks and happiness is the general state.
That would seem so.
Mm.
Mm. Joy begins with the senses. It is universally experienced. We are told that these are passing pleasures, when in fact they can remind us of the shared humanity we have in common. It crosses age, ethnicity, religion, and of course, looking out to find joy for ourselves opens us up to judgment. We can be seen as navel-gazing, self-indulgent, childish, too feminine, unserious. So in many cases, we hold ourselves back from joy.
Well, we hold ourselves back when we don't feel safe. You don't really release tears of joy if you're with people you don't trust.
True.
On an emotional level. And that's why a dog is always a joy, because they're totally unjudgmental. And actually, I can recall a few moments of gleeful joy at meetings at work when it hasn't been a good idea to exclaim, "Oh, frabjous day, galoo calay." But let's get back to times. We'll get rid of the dogs, get rid of the meetings. Just get back to times when you don't hold back. How can we create more times when we are free to express ourselves?
How do we bring joy into the real world?
Yeah, that'll do. That's basically where I was wanting you to head.
When Ingrid was a student, which brings me back to this TED talk, she had to present 1 year's work to several professors. And so she had it displayed on a table. And they circled the projects. And one said, after a very long pause, "Your work brings me joy. Your work brings me joy." Ingrid was very surprised.
Well, that's not a very professorial thing to say, is it? In fact, it doesn't sound academic at all.
This was not what she expected, of course, Jenny. Rather, she was looking to be approved for the effort made in environmentally and ergonomically sound practices. So Ingrid set out to find what it was in her designs and in others that brought that feeling of joy. Here is what she discovered, and I found this very interesting. As she worked, as she looked at her own work and the world around her, a repetition of joy begins with the senses. For example, many of the buildings she saw were angular, lacking in vibrant colour, particularly hospitals, offices, schools, housing projects and homeless shelters. These environments, she said, they're just killing us one by one.
Well, the Grenfell Towers did, didn't they?
Yes,
well, not just one by one. And I'm also thinking of those great big boxy towers in Melbourne where people were locked down.
Well, I think they are, but there was
an easing up. But they're just geometrical hellholes, really, aren't they?
It would seem that the primal part of the brain still sees angular objects and structures as possibly dangerous, so we become cautious, whereas colours and curves set us up for ease, automatically seeing them as signs of life, welcoming and joyful. That fear and anxiety narrows the mindset, whereas creating spaces that are joyful sharpens our minds, where joy is directly connected to our fundamental need to survive. That moments of joy could be found in plain sight, and tangible things bring intangible joy. The sight of curves and colours in architecture being so much more appealing than many of the edifices we live among.
Yeah, I used to have a Hundertwasser calendar. Now, Hundertwasser was both an architect and an artist, and his calendars are full of absolutely vibrant colour. And you can see these buildings in Austria. I think there are some in Germany, New Zealand. He made New Zealand his home. And oddly enough, he died in Queensland. So there's an Australian connection. And he had a colossally funny name. It was Friedrich Reichen and a whole stack of other German words, and Hundertwasser at the end. It was a pseudonym.
Oh, right, okay.
But, do you
remember, Jenny, the Whoopi Goldberg movie Sister Act?
No, I certainly do. A very unconvincing nun.
Yes, undercover nun she was, and she became the musical director. Mm. And she was going to put on a concert, and she got the nuns to paint the outside of the church in vibrant colours. Anyway, to draw people in, she got the nuns to colour the outside. The church had a very colourful makeover.
Well, it sounds deeply subversive to me.
Ingrid discovered, for instance, going on, that Sandy Hook School, which had been the site of a mass shooting, had now been redesigned with wavy roofs and open, wavy, welcoming gesture to the entrance. Colourfully decorated in open places and in the classrooms. Several schools now have followed, colourfully repainting with positive results. Student grades have improved and staff and student rapport has also improved.
But I suspect it's not just the painting that does that, it's the attitude of mind that leads to the painting, because it's going to cost more to do that sort of wavy architecture and the paint. So it's like an altogether package,
yes,
I guess.
That's right. Nursing homes too have been refurbished, and colourful sitting rooms and bedrooms not only gave the impression of air, of joy, but the general feeling amongst residents had improved, that embracing those moments of joy are not superficial extras, but when encouraged towards things, memories, peoples and circumstances, these bring joy and improve life. In her summing up, she said, happiness is deep and joy is the outward expression of the experience, which is shared across language, beginning with the senses. For me, there is more to joy and happiness than the tangible, and I find myself not exactly reverting to my past stance as an evangelical Christian, but rather moving on, which brings me around again to the acknowledgement of a deeper sense of joy, not so immediate or easy to access. In fact, in times of distress and isolation, it's very elusive and often seems out of reach. For how can we experience joy when distance and death combine, as they are for many people in this COVID-19 time now? You probably remember, Jenny, the reggae music made popular by Bob Marley.
In the rivers, by the rivers of Babylon. That one.
Which is actually from Psalm 137, which is, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked for us songs of joy. They said, sing the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of Zion when in a strange land?
Well, I guess there's many an immigrant or refugee who must have asked that question. But that's probably another program there.
Could be,
I think so. But here and now, what can bring us joy?
Well, if you'll allow me to go back just a bit to 1986, I was given a lovely book, Seeds for Hope, and it was written by Henry Joseph Michael Noon.
Ah, right, that's the book you gave me.
Yes.
That's your author.
That's right.
Ah, right, okay. Now, it's all coming together.
Good.
I thought, what am I going to read this for? Now I know.
Okay. Yes, so he was a Dutch Catholic priest, professor and writer and theologian. He also lived in Canada. He was qualified in psychology and pastoral ministry. He was very keen on social justice and community were dear to him. So, Jenny,
I'll read it.
Okay.
And this little piece was written in 1986, which is about 10 years before he died, I think. Yes. Anyway, it's from The Road to Daybreak, and it's entitled Our Restless, Busy Society. What strikes me, being back in the United States, is the full force of the restlessness, the loneliness, and the tension that holds so many people. The conversations I had today were about spiritual survival. So many of my friends feel overwhelmed by the many demands made on them. Few feel the inner peace and joy they so much desire. To celebrate life together, to be together in community, to simply enjoy the beauty of creation, the love of people, the goodness of God, those seem faraway ideals. There seems to be a mountain of obstacles preventing people from being where their hearts want to be. It is so painful to watch and experience, and the astonishing thing is that the battle for survival has become so that few people really believe that it can be different. I want so much to bring them to new places, show them new perspectives, and point out to them new ways. But in this hectic, pressured, competitive, exhausting context, who can really hear me? I even wonder how long I myself can stay in touch with the voice of the spirit when the demons of this world make so much noise. Oh, how important is discipline, community, prayer, silence, caring presence, simple listening, adoration, and deep, lasting, faithful friendship. We all want it so much, and still the powers suggesting that all of that is fantasy are enormous. But we have to replace the battle for power with the battle to create space for the spirit.
And that to me is very interesting, Jenny. That was in 1986.
Yes.
And it could have been written,
yesterday.
Last week, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And that brings us to the close of our topic today.
What brings you joy and where can you find it?
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.